everybody, and welcome to the Ash Wednesday service for our little unfinished community. Now, I know some of you, maybe even many of you, probably are wondering what even is Ash Wednesday in the first place. That's okay. Let's talk about that a little bit first. Now, Ash Wednesday is the start of the season of Lent, which is a period of time that leads up to Easter. Now, this is a 40-day season which leads up to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is a big deal for us. But during this period that leads up to that, we walk on this journey with Christ, keeping our eyes on the cross. And all right, I know that might sound a little bit morbid and depressing, but this is an important time for us. It's a time in our spiritual lives when we focus on our failings, our sins, and that great death that awaits us all. Now, during this period of time, we normally spend our time in acknowledgement of our sins, in reflection and repentance, rather than hiding from our sins and all the things we've done wrong. We do the hard thing, the discipline thing, and we confront them, and we face them. And not just our own individual sins, like being mean to people and such, but also the sins that we have contributed to as members of our church communities, our nations, and even as our whole human family. Now, this definitely sounds terribly depressing and difficult, and to be sure, it has moments where it's a lot of that. But look, as people who are constantly feeling pressured to do more, to be more, to stand up against oppression more, to attend one more protest, to send one more letter, to do everything we can to help, and the realization that we always fail, honestly, it can be freeing in a way to accept and acknowledge our failings before God rather than binding ourselves, locking ourselves into some never-ending fight to mitigate or eliminate these failings, knowing that doing this means the death of ourselves, our very identities, the fullness of who we are. Committing to that can almost be a relief. But in embracing that finality, the deadly consequence of our sinful nature, by allowing ourselves to finally accept and make peace with the fact that we are just perpetual screw-ups, by walking ourselves directly to the cross and laying down in the tomb, we do the one thing that no amount of effort on our own could otherwise accomplish. We step aside and we let God take over. And it's in that space we make this journey from Good Friday to Easter, realizing that death is merely a stop along the way and not the final destination. Then we can be raised with Christ as a whole new thing, a more complete person, a more loving and forgiving person of ourselves, just as we're called to be loving and forgiving of each other. So, with our eyes on that promise of new life, let's do the hard thing. Let's step into this time of acknowledgement, repentance, and self-reflection together. So you may be wondering, if you've kind of seen me on some of our regular meetups or seen the pictures of me on our website or on the Facebook videos, you're wondering probably what's the deal with the black robe and the stole and all the formal looking stuff. Traditionally, on Ash Wednesday, churches try to use this time to engage in some of the higher ritual of the church, some ritual practice. And the biggest among those, well, one of them, is what we call the imposition of ashes. Now, if you're familiar with it, what it is it's an old cultural practice, something we've carried forward from the Old Testament period, where anointing someone with ashes was considered a sign of repentance, a sign that someone had owned their failures and mistakes and was willing to make up for them, someone who was changed and renewed. And this, from the early days of the church, was a mark that was worn by all members of the community to signify a commitment to this process of repentance and eventual renewal. Unfortunately, as you might have noticed, this pandemic period means that making a paste of oil and ash and rubbing it on each other's faces probably isn't the smartest idea, even if we could all be in the same space. So, on top of that, this community that we're a part of is so separate from each other in terms of time and space that, honestly, it's not super practical to do that. And it's not something that we can find a way to do that feels natural. Even if we were comfortable with all this big ritual, it's not easy, and honestly, we don't need to do it. So what are we going to do? The thing about us Protestant folks is that we embrace the utility of ritual when it's helpful, but that's about as far as we ever really care. We're consubstantiationists here. Our ritual is meant to indicate, but not to literally be the important thing itself. So, I mean, we know what the ashes are about. They're a sign of repentance. They're about having some kind of sign, some indication of our willingness to confront our sin, to confront our failings, and to start down that path towards making things right, and making ourselves right, too. It's a sign. But, you know, like any sign or any apology, as I often tell my kids, the best apology is changed behavior. So, in lieu of ashes, I want to invite you instead to join me in a time of prayer and reflection. Now, what we're going to do here is probably not like any kind of prayer you might have attempted or experienced before, especially if you're pretty well used to this prayer as talking to Jesus in my head in a way that feels vaguely as though I might be masking a multiple personality disorder. If you're used to that instead of the way a lot of people experience prayer, which is a spiritual discipline that is more like meditation, where we seek to align our hearts with God. So that's more like what we're going to try to do here. Now today, we're going to walk through a variation of a prayer that's called the Examine. Now this prayer comes from the Jesuit Order of the Catholic Church, which may seem like a weird choice for a newfangled online Protestant church. But you know what? One thing these Jesuits have always been really good at is reflective prayer. And honestly, if it ain't broke, why try to fix it? So as we do this, the big thing to keep in mind is that this kind of prayer is something you do, and it's not just something you listen to. That's why it's on video and not just on the podcast this time. I really want to invite you, pause the video if you need to. Set yourself up a space where you can dedicate at least a few minutes to peaceful meditation and introspective reflection. Really get into this. I'll wait. All right, assuming you're back now, I will walk you through what you're going to need to do along the way. I'm going to guide you through this meditation. All that's really needed of you is an open mind and a willingness to look into yourself and accept whatever it is that you might find there. It might be tough, could be hard, but I promise you, it'll take you somewhere new. And I'll be with you the whole way. Are you ready? Let's begin. So as I said before, this is meant to be a meditative sort of prayer, where we're going to be thinking about our own lives, reflecting on our own sins, the sins of groups we've been a part of. So before we begin, let's take a moment and be conscious of why we're doing this. We're not doing this because we feel some cosmic need for self-flagellation. We're not practicing spiritual masochism here. Instead, let's start by holding in our hearts who God is to us. God is to us the origin of all that is good. To us, God is the giver of life and love, energy, grace, and mercy. For us, God is the one person in all of creation who is always for us and never against us. In our lives, God is the beating heart of love, the current of kindness flowing beneath every wonderful moment, every beautiful sight, every kind word, every quiet whisper of love that dots the landscape of our time like trees on a hillside. In knowing God this way, we realize that every sin that we have committed, every mistake that we've made, every person we have hurt has been a push away from this force of goodness and love. Our sins separate us from God, standing between us and the full experience of love that we were created to receive, to share, and enjoy ourselves. In this realization, we understand the importance in taking this time to repent and move closer to God. So first, I want to invite you to hold in your mind's eye an image of yourself, not the idealized, perfect Mary Sue version of yourself. That's your ego you're thinking of. I also don't mean the grubby, troll-like mess of a person that your anxieties and self-hatred are constantly describing to you either. Remember yourself like you were as a child, full of hope and optimism and innocence of heart. Let your mind touch on everything that child experienced at all the different points in their life. See the different places in which you've lived. Hold for just a moment an image of all the different people whose lives you have touched over the years. People who are still part of your life today, people long gone, people who you once knew, but whose paths have diverged from your own long ago, even those random faces that you knew but for a time, but who you never saw again. See in your mind's eye all these connections, connections to people, connections to places, connections to the world in all its variety and forms, and through all that, a connection to God. And as you sit for a moment in a hub of all these connections, reaching out from you like a fiber optic network of interconnectedness, hold now too to all the different ways in which you might have broken those connections. The different actions, great and small, which have damaged or broken any one of those lines of connection. Consider those places, those breaks, those sins that you might have committed against the relationships you have with people within our own community. Hold those times where you showed a lack of love for other people, where you limited the true connection between people. Times where you may have demanded total agreement from others, allowing others to be demonized for different opinions. Consider those times where you've shown judgmental spirit, a lack of grace, rigidity, or an overly demanding nature. Times where you've talked more than listened. Consider those times where you may have gossiped or complained. Times where you have not really taken in what the other was saying, instead reacted immediately against it. Consider those times where you had the option to bring important challenges to people, but yet didn't. Think on some of those broken connections you may have formed against people in relationships beyond these communities, things on the broader scale. Consider those times where you could have sacrificed of yourself to serve the poor and oppressed, but didn't. Think of the ways in which you may have separated yourself from the world, so that you don't see the social problems that keep people oppressed and captive. Problems like systemic racism, or poverty, or wealth oppression. Consider the times where you could have engaged with those who set social policies and didn't, because it was too much work. Consider the times where you could have supported your church or your community in their work for the people around you. Consider those times and places where you could have shown or aided in better respect for all cultures and the relationships between us of race and culture. Consider those times where you have immersed yourself in a consumer mentality, allowed possession to be the highlight of your intent. Consider all those different ways in which you have failed to live as a good steward of the earth and its resources. Let's consider as well those broken connections, those lines that you may have severed between yourself and your relationship with God. Think on moments where you've shown pride or self-satisfaction, self-righteousness, or hard-heartedness. If you're a church-going person, consider those times in worship where you have focused more on the performance than on your devotion to what the Spirit is doing. Consider all those times where you've allowed yourself to be controlled more by fear and anxiety rather than faith and hope. Consider those times where you've held back your money or your resources from helping because you were afraid you wouldn't have enough in the future. Consider the time that you haven't spent in prayer and in meditation on your spiritual relationship with God. It may sound like a big word and a complicated idea, but consider the idea of idolatry. What that means is to find deep spiritual meaning from things that are not God. To worship things like money and power. Has that ever been you? This is a hard one. Think about all the times that you have shown hypocrisy or a lack of authenticity. And most importantly, think on all of those times where you were slow to acknowledge or failed to acknowledge your own sins and failings. Now let's sit for a moment, holding in our hearts the knowledge of all of these ways in which we have fallen short. And let's consider the effects of all of these things. Let's reflect on how each one of us, one human being, among millions upon millions on this planet, adds to the great mass of sin in the world through each small misstep, sending pollution through all the connections that we share with each other in this world, like an avalanche. Our own small misdeeds as individuals and as parts of greater communities, a snowball rolling down through these connections, reverberating pain throughout the whole of the human experience. I know it's difficult. And I know it's uncomfortable. But take a moment and let's sit with that understanding. As you let this understanding rest on your heart, imagine yourself before God, contrasting God's perfection with the weight of this understanding, this immensity of sin that we all share in. With all of our petty jealousies and hatreds, standing in comparison to the God from whom all goodness flows. In that space, realize that there is no logical reason why anything good should come to a people like us. No sensical, sane, reasonable world in which we contribute to harm on a scale like this should ever see us being rewarded or provided for or in any way beloved. But I want to ask you, as you sit with this, to move your attention from this weight and this feeling of sin to the world in which you live and breathe, the sea of beautiful life that you swim through. From the basic support systems of air and water, warmth and light, cool breezes and shade from the sun, the fruit of the ground, water, rain, and all the works of human hands that pass through and around you to give life and comfort and happiness. Think of all the people who pray for you, who care for you, and who love you. Consider the communities in which you live, your church, if you have one, or other communities as well. This community, where you're welcomed as a friend, as family, people who actively seek to help you out of an overflowing sense of love for you as a person. Hold that in your heart for a moment, that unbelievable, indescribable mass of love and light and care. Feel it settle on you like a ray of sunlight on a cool day. If God is the source of all that is good, all that is pure, and all that is true, then despite our failings, despite every way in which we have fallen short, the fact that we still receive this, that this unmerited grace, this incomprehensible love, this unbelievable care still comes to us, this is what it means to be truly beloved by God. Realize now the gift that we have all been given, a love that we don't deserve, a love that is unmerited, a love that we couldn't possibly earn. Forgiveness for the unforgivable. Holding that in your heart now with joy and thanksgiving. Let's end this time of prayer and meditation by giving ourselves one simple question to dwell on during this Lenten season. How can I respond to a God who is this good to me? Consider how we can respond to God's love, reaching back through all of the connections that bind us to others, that bind us to the world around us. How can we seek to do some small part, something, to make up for all that we have done wrong? Consider what we can do to respond to this overflowing outpouring of love by letting it pour out from ourselves. How can we respond to God's unmerited, merciful grace by giving the same to other people as well? I can't answer what that might look like for you in your own lives. Maybe it's something as simple as an apology that you owe to someone. Maybe it's something more practical, more difficult. Maybe whatever it is, it's something you'd rather avoid. Whatever it is, just know that as you approach it, that you're not doing it as just a single person righting a single terrible wrong, but that you're approaching it as an expression of this unmerited, unbelievable love of God, given to you despite there being no logical reason to do so. So as we go out from this space today, aware of our place in God's creation, we do this with great and resounding thanks to the God who cares for us for no good reason, and with clear awareness of the places in which we have fallen short, ready to fix whatever we can, wherever we might be able. It may feel daunting, it may feel challenging, and it may feel intimidating. But that's what repentance looks like. Acknowledging what we've done wrong, acknowledging that we are loved anyway, and acknowledging that there's work to do. So go out from here and seek to do repentance, to do what God asks of us all to love in this world. I want to thank you for joining us for this time of prayer and meditation. I hope in some small way you were able to find some connection to God in this time. In the meantime, I want to invite you to join with our community if you feel so inclined. If this is your first time seeing something from our little unfinished community, what it is a community of people who are meeting together as a church online, and online only. We have our fellowship through what's called Discord, which is an app where we talk to each other whenever we happen to be and however we happen to be available. Check our website, which I'm posting in the description here, and you can find more information about this. We'd love for you to come talk to us. You can join us and be part of our conversation. We do many things during the week. We have our sermon podcasts that come out on Sundays. We have regular prayers that come out normally on Wednesday. This service is taking the place of that. We also have on Thursdays a series of psalm readings from some of the local hiking trails here in Japan. You can check those out on our Facebook page. Most importantly, especially coming at the end of a time of meditation on difficult concepts like this, I hope you understand, wherever you are and whatever you're struggling with, it may feel like it sometimes, but you're not alone. My prayers are with you, the prayers of our community are with you, and the grace and love of God is with you also. So go out, and above all, take care.